Hello and welcome to the Free Thinking Podcast. My name is Richard Eng and I'm your host. And I'm here again with my friend Tim Stratton. And so we're going to be talking about more about the ministry and really that this is to be used supplemental to the apologetics training that can be found on the website, that can be found through relationship with Tim and the other contributors. But we want to spend a little bit of time talking about the website and how that can be useful and to equip you to do ministry and like it says, equipping the church to engage the culture. So how can the website get you there?
Well, freethinkingministries.com is, I call it kind of a toolbox, and I hope it's a toolbox that's utilized by the church. We encourage pastors, Sunday school teachers, elders, just the average attender on Sunday mornings, whoever you are, we encourage you to go to our website when you have questions or when you're talking to people that have questions. And if you're sharing your faith at all today, these questions are going to be raised. We think we probably already have the answer on our website. And if we don't, well, there's a Q&A portion here, a page that you can go to, and we want you to ask us your questions. And we want to equip you. And as you said, Richard, our goal is to equip the church to engage the culture, to rationally engage the skeptical culture that we find ourselves in today. And we hope that your faith is strengthened in the process.
Absolutely. And so there's a multiple ways that you can interact. There's a lot of different contributors with different styles and different content. And so I like to think of it of like a swimming pool.
Yeah.
There's the shallow end. There might be the kiddie pool.
Right.
Then you go in, maybe it's like 4 or 5 feet in, and then you're in the deep end.
The diving pool.
Oh, yeah. And so some of it is the deep end. And that might be something that might scare you off if you just read the headline.
Right.
But for some people, they're ready to dive in, and they're ready to just eat up all of what's in that article. But for some of you, we want to help get you there.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we have our goal, at least for me especially, is to take some of those deep end things and make a more shallow end.
Right.
So you can understand, even at a basic level, what the discussion is, and then to be able to train your mind and articulate it a lot better in a deep end kind of a way.
That's right. We want people to know exactly what they should believe, why they should believe it, and then how to rationally engage and share this truth in a skeptical culture. So what you should believe is your theology. Why you should believe it, it's apologetics. And then how to share it in the skeptical culture is evangelism. So really, this is a ministry focused on three things: theology, apologetics, and evangelism.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think the problem with the church today is, by and large, most Christians, and I would even say, as a pastor, I'll say this, and Richard, you're a pastor too, most pastors don't even have their feet in the kiddie pool yet. Most people in the church, including most pastors, don't even have their season summer ticket to the swimming pool. Hmm. And we want to encourage all people to not just get their feet wet in the baby pool, but we want to give some swimming lessons in these apologetics waters to get people in that 4 and 5 foot swimming pool and maybe get some people in the diving pool in the process. So this website is the primary focus is to equip the church to engage the culture. And so most of the articles are going to be written at a level to where the average person can understand it. Some might be a little harder, but most articles are going to be written in that manner. And really, I think, Richard, when you and my fellow classmate from Biola, Tim Fox, you guys do a fantastic job of communicating some of these deeper ideas at a level in which maybe younger students might be able to understand. Mm. And, there's going to be an occasional article on there that's definitely in the diving pool. But that would be the exception rather than the rule, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so talking about the website, it's freethinkingministries.com. And by the way, we want to build a relationship with you. You know, we have our Q&A section and give us an email. Shoot us an email. Say, hey, I read this. I didn't understand it. What did you mean? I heard this. I didn't understand. What did you mean? Or even to have us come out and equip you to be able to speak the language of apologetics.
Right.
Because to me, apologetics is kind of like the middle ground between theology and the world. It's like, this is how we're going to communicate with the people who don't believe. Mm. Because when you stick in theology books, and trust me, I love theology books,
yeah.
you start to think like that, you talk like that, you use the same language. Apologetics uses the language of the world in the sense that your run-of-the-mill naturalist is going to be able to have a conversation with you, and you're speaking the same language, you're using the same terms, you're talking about the same topics, and that leads them to Christ.
Yeah.
And that's our heart, is mm-hmm. to bring people to the cross, remove stumbling blocks,
yes,
and let them see the goodness and let them taste and see the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. And so we want to build a relationship with you. And so we're talking about the website, we're talking about this ministry, Free Thinking Ministries. What does free thinking mean? Where did that come from?
Well, while I was attending Biola University, pursuing the master's degree, I had to do a master's thesis. And the focus of my master's thesis was an argument I crafted called the Free Thinking Argument Against Naturalism. And this argument deductively proves that libertarian free will exists, that humans have free will. And it also demonstrates that if you're an atheistic naturalist, somebody that says not only does God not exist, but only nature exists, nothing immaterial or spiritual exists, they don't have free will. And if you don't have free will, then you can't freely think. And so I demonstrate that we do have free will, and the best explanation of that free will is the soul, the human soul, and that is best explained by the existence of God.
And not only God, but the God of the Bible.
Yes, the biblical view of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the best explanation.
And so this kind of thing, because this isn't going to answer every single person's questions, this is going to be for the person who has been reading a lot of Dawkins and Harris and mm-hmm. Hitchens, guys like that, who are very, they're naturalists, they're atheists, they're very outspoken. And so this is for the person who is holding on to those views. And what this argument is essentially saying is that if you don't believe in God, you can't actually come to your own conclusions. And that's not being mean. That's not calling anyone stupid. It's just what the worldview leads to. And so let's go through the argument and let's break it down, and because I want to see how that leads to that.
Yeah. You know, I find it interesting that you said an atheist can't even come to his own conclusions, or a naturalist couldn't anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that includes the conclusion that God doesn't exist. You know, so they really, I mean, let me explain that here. I mean, atheists love to call themselves free thinkers because they claim to have no restraints to follow the facts wherever they lead. Hmm. But if atheists happen to be right and that God does not exist, then it's also highly implausible that the immaterial aspect of humanity known as the soul exists. And this has led me to the conclusion that an atheist can't really be a free thinker. I mean, sure, they can join the club and call themselves free thinkers, but if they happen to be right about the non-existence of God and the soul, then atheists can't freely think anything. In fact, nobody could freely think anything if they're right. So if God does not exist, it's difficult to see how anybody could freely think anything. And so this is led me to craft this argument that I did my master's thesis on after dwelling upon what it means to be a free thinker. So here's what I call the free thinking argument against naturalism. I'll run through each step of the argument and then we can talk about each step. It's 8 steps. There's 4 premises, 3 deductive conclusions, and 1 abductive conclusion. But here it goes. Step 1, if naturalism is true, the immaterial human soul does not exist. Two, if the soul does not exist, then libertarian free will does not exist. Three, if libertarian free will does not exist, then rationality and knowledge do not exist. Four, rationality and knowledge exists. Five, therefore, libertarian free will exists. Six, therefore, the soul exists. Seven, therefore, naturalism is false. And eight, the best explanation for the existence of God, or I'm sorry, for the existence of the soul is God. And as you mentioned, Richard, I'll make it even stronger and say the best explanation for the existence of the soul is the biblical view of God. So just very quickly, steps one through four are the premises.
Mm-hmm.
If those four premises are true, then the next three steps or conclusions follow deductively. That means the next three conclusions must be true.
It's unavoidable.
Exactly.
And so anyone who's listening to this who would disagree with the conclusions, they would have to show that at least one of those first four premises does not correspond to reality. Somehow, logically, it doesn't work. Or maybe they have another argument that would say, no, what about, did you think about this?
Right.
And so it's the first four that would be under attack if you were trying to use this argument with someone who was an atheistic naturalist. They would have to then show one of those is false and this is why. But you've done a lot of the thinking for people in the sense that in giving or in us showing you how to use this argument, we can show you what to look for when using this argument. So what would be some of the pushback or how do you establish those premises, starting with premise one?
Well, let's make it simple right now. In fact, if you would like, please go to the website and read the article entitled The Free Thinking Argument in a Nutshell.
Hmm.
And then I've got another one called Free Thinking Atheists Are Oxymorons, which goes a little deeper into the argument.
That almost like sounds like you're calling him a name, but you're not.
Yeah, it was kind of a play on words, supposed to be funny. definitely to show that a free thinking naturalist just doesn't work. It's two contradictory terms. Anyway, let me explain it in a nutshell, so to speak.
Yeah.
Basically, premise one is synonymous with this. If naturalism is true, nature is all that exists. Okay, that's what naturalism means. Only nature exists. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. Nobody argues that. Premise two is tantamount to the following. If all that exists is nature, then all that exists is causally determined via the laws of nature and the initial conditions of the Big Bang. Now, that is actually the position of the vast majority of academic PhD atheistic naturalists, and I can quote some of them later for you. If all that exists is nature, okay, if all that exists is nature, then all that exists is causally determined by the laws of nature, going all the way back to the initial conditions of the Big Bang, and the laws of nature and the initial conditions of the Big Bang are not up to us. Okay, humans have no say in those things. So that leads to premise three, and that's equivalent with this. If all things are causally determined, then that includes all thoughts and beliefs. Okay, if all things are forced upon us and causally determined to happen, then that includes all thoughts and beliefs. So if our thoughts and beliefs are forced upon us and we could not have chosen better beliefs, then we are simply left assuming that our determined beliefs are the best, that they're good, let alone true. So therefore, we could never rationally affirm that our beliefs really are the inference to the best explanation. We can only assume they are.
Well, good. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about this idea of being causally determined by the initial condition of the Big Bang. What does that mean? Give me an illustration.
I like to think of falling dominoes. I think we've all seen a table set up with all these dominoes, and then somebody pushes the first domino, and these dominoes don't have any choice in the matter. They were determined or forced to be set up the way they are, and then forced to fall. And due to the laws of nature, namely gravity, dominoes will fall. And there's no domino in that line of other dominoes that can make the choice to step out of the way. If it's set up exactly as it is, and one domino falls, it's unavoidable that the last domino will fall. It's causally determined.
If a domino stepped out of the way, I think that would be, I don't know what I'd do.
It would have some supernatural implications because it's naturally impossible.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference between something being naturally impossible and logically impossible. And we can get into that later. But, you know, let me talk about the big problem for the atheistic naturalist here as we start to wrap up. It logically follows that if naturalism is true, then atheists, or anybody for that matter, cannot possess knowledge, because knowledge is defined as justified true belief. Okay, justified true belief. You've got to have justification, warrant, or reasons to think your belief is true for it to count as a knowledge claim. So one can happen to have true beliefs. However, if they do not possess warrant, reason, or justification for a specific belief, then their belief does not qualify as a knowledge claim. If one cannot freely infer the best explanation, then one has no justification that their belief really is the best explanation. And so I want you to understand that without this justification, then knowledge goes down the drain, and all you're left with is what's called a question-begging assumption, which is a logical fallacy. So you're left with, okay, all things are causally determined by nature. That includes all of my beliefs. And I've got these determined beliefs that I don't have any say over. They're forced upon me. And now I'm going to assume that my determined beliefs are better than yours, if you disagree with me. So I'm going to assume that my determined beliefs are better than your determined beliefs to argue that my determined beliefs are true.
Namely, it would be the atheistic naturalist assuming that his atheistic naturalism is true in talking to a Christian or really any other worldview, just saying, because he could not, under inspection from this argument, he couldn't say this is true. All he could say is, this is the belief that was given to me in a falling domino effect from the beginning of time.
He's got no say, according to his own worldview, he's got no ability to choose a better belief. And so he's going to assume that his determined belief is true to argue it's true. And that's a logical fallacy known as begging the question. You know what else it's also called?
Circular reasoning.
That's right. So begging the question, circular reasoning. And so his belief might happen to be true, but his reason, he doesn't have a good reason to think it's true. And so without reason, he does not have knowledge that it's true. He can only assume it.
Yeah. And so that is what this argument can offer, and not in the sense of I'm going to put someone down who believes this, not in the sense of I'm going to make them feel bad or call them names or something like, hey, you can't have knowledge. That's not the heart of this or of the ministry. The heart of the ministry is this is how to show people that their beliefs are wrong. And it's not, it's because we want, like we said earlier, we want people to be led to the cross. And until people really start to question and inspect and their own beliefs, they're not going to want to go to the cross and see that it's good. Because they're going to be stuck in, I want to hold on to what I believe.
Yeah.
And so this removes that for the atheistic naturalist and then can lead them to Christ. And so that's the heart. I want to talk more about this argument in the next episode. Do you have one more thing to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Paul commands us to be free thinkers. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says that we take our thoughts captive. In Colossians 2:8, he says that our thoughts can take us captive. But he commands us to take our thoughts captive before they take us. And to me, that's the epitome of being a free thinker.
We'll end on that note. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week.